Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for coming back to another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and welcome to Sunday, and welcome back to another episode. Today, we are going to begin a little series, perhaps. I don't know how it's going to unfold completely, but the topic of today's podcast is called The God We Anticipate. The God We Anticipate. Now, many who read this title are going to say, I don't anticipate God, to which I'd reply, well, then you either feel hopeless by anticipating nothing, or you don't recognize God in those things for which you hope. You know, for believers, anticipation is actually what the Advent is all about. And of course, we finished our Thanksgiving holiday last weekend, and we're entering into the Christmas holiday. And that is the time of Advent. And, you know, I didn't grow up, like many of you, in a tradition that spelled out the Advent on a calendar or with a particular liturgy. Now, many traditions do that. I didn't grow up in one of those. And like most of you, what little I know of the Advent season really has been quarantined within a narrow and particular framework that culminates in wise men, a pregnant virgin, and a baby in a feeding trough. Now, I would like in this series and in this podcast to invite all comers into a current expression of Advent. A current expression of Advent. You see, I believe there's something here for beginners as well as the devout. And for me, there isn't much value in retelling the story of God showing up in the world as a Jewish boy if the significance of this arrival doesn't find itself in modern life. So how do we reconcile the notion that a savior is born to what we see on the nightly news? I mean, don't those two things seem a little out of sync? A savior is born? Really? What about all of the horror in the world? Where's the savior? It's kind of the question that is begged if we miss this point, right? Now, the church's main product here is the seasonal teleportation back into an ancient story, right? This is primarily an esoteric salve, kind of a lotion that we can put on the suffering world that greets us each and every day. When it talks about the Advent, the churches, when they give themselves to this time of the season, either in their sermons or their song or their traditions, it's really about trying to take us back into a historical period. Many of them do so by trying to prove the validity, the historicity of the Advent story. And while the details of the story usually bubble to the surface, they're kind of left there to be extrapolated and applied as we see fit, however we're able to. But they're never really the central product. You see, the anticipation story is really just kind of a historical look. And this ends up pushing our anticipation into our eschatology. And eschatology is our belief about the end times, about what will happen at the last days, last things, right? And modern Christianity has more of an advent for their eschatology than they do for their Christology. What I mean by that is that they are looking at the news and hoping that what they're reading in the pages are the proof that Jesus is going to come back and open up a giant can of whoop-ass on all those people without a K-Love sticker or their radio preset to Christian music. It's true. If you look at it, you'll see that the hope is always pushed out into the future. And they miss Advent. I think we all miss Advent when that happens. Now, is that the best we can do? Are we anticipating a savior of the world or the dread warrior that's going to come back and get even? I think that's a valid question. So what if the advent of God coming into the world, right, was not entombed in the nativity scene? Now, stick with me. I'm not going off the edge here. I'm just asking a salient question. What if the advent of God into the world isn't entombed in the nativity scene? What if it wasn't us trying to find God in the history of it? What if it was more about us recognizing God as something other than a bearded white man, a carpenter, or a bird? Why is the other diminished here? Why is seeing God as something other than what we traditionally describe God, why is that other thing diminished? Especially when we're talking about the advent of God into the world. You see, when we look deeply into our own eyes through a mirror, now we've all done this. You go and you look at a mirror and we catch little glimpses of ourself. Yeah, I'm not talking about our body. We see our body every time we look in a mirror. But sometimes we catch little glimpses of ourself. And over the course of our lives, we've seen our body morph and change. It's getting taller and wider, and it's changing shapes and looks different than it used to. And it's all morphing around that part where we see the same old soul flickering back at us. Despite all the changes and the loss of hair on the top or the gain of hair somewhere else, there's a similarity, there's a sameness, there's the same old soul that looks back. And the pains and the joys of life, they manifest themselves increasingly in our deeper creases of skin. You know, as our face takes the shape of the exterior and all of our shoulds, right? Smile lines, squinting lines, frowning lines are all the superficial repeated motion of something that's been going on deep inside for a long, long time. So there is a precise moment in the mirror when our consciousness sees beyond our face and sees who is staring back. And my question today is, who is that? It is you, yes, of course, but I believe it's so much more. So may I suggest that we are seeing something like an echo reverberating, I can't say that word. May I suggest that I think we're seeing something like an echo reverberating off of eternity and beauty. All that we love and hate about our image reflects back to us the depth of what we aspire to or despair of, right? Our face, our body is telling us things we like and things we don't. We shrug off, we avoid eye contact, we avoid certain things because there's this part of us that is it's reflecting back at us. And if we are awake, we can perceive the eternal moment showing up as us. So sorrow here is our unwillingness to accept that God is reflected in what we see. You see, when we look in the mirror and we don't like what we see, that is a manifestation of sorrow because we're not willing to say that that image coming back is somehow godly. Now, what if the advent of God in the world in 2017 isn't the nativity scene? Well, yes, it can be that. Yes, the history story is certainly important, and I'm not diminishing it. I want to add to it, right? I want us to recognize that what if the advent of God is you and me? No, I'm not saying that we are God. I'm not God, and you are not God either. But my prayer is that we may discover, and perhaps for the first time, that we are not completely other than God either. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if the baby in a manger can teach us anything, let it be that God dwells within humanity. You see, Scripture tells us that our bodies are temples and that we are not our own, 1 Corinthians 6:9. It also says that God has chosen to make his or her abode in thick darkness, 1 Kings 8:12. And it also says that we have a treasure enrobed in a jar of clay, 2 Corinthians 4:7. You see, Scripture seems to be willing to admit that that reflection in the mirror has a lot more God in it than perhaps we are. In fact, we are an ongoing aspect of incarnation. So incarnation is not just this historical event way, way, way back, 2,000 years ago, where Jesus shows up in the manger. Yes, it is that. But it's in the mirror, looking at you and me. It's you and me. It's our very life. God is showing up in and as our very life. Now, if we can accept our deeply sacred and spiritual capacity, then our personal Advent has already begun. Now, the wider Advent takes place every day as any act of love towards anything in the cosmos. Any act of love towards anything in the cosmos is the dawn of God into the world. Advent is the reparation of anything that we're able to discern as broken or disordered. You see, God comes into the world through us. He, she uses your hands and feet, my hands and feet, your gifting, your ability, your resources, your timing, your juxtaposition, your sphere of influence, to say and to do the work of God. That's Advent. Advent is the acceptance that nothing is missing from each moment, and that the face looking back at us in the mirror is not just our own. It's a shared image. You are so much more than you. You are a unique reflection of God in the world. And so is everybody else. Now that is Advent.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.